until 11, Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
Jackie Matthews is in from the Sustainable Hour and also Scrap Solutions. Good morning to you, Jackie.
Hi, Mitch. How are you today?
Very well indeed. But how are you going with the election?
Yeah, really good. It's very interesting. I've been listened to your forums and went to a forum myself the other night in Ocean Grove, which is where I live.
Was that the Corangamite one?
Yes. Yep. Yes. So there was four representatives there from the area. And, yeah, it was good to just hear, I suppose, what they had to say, which you kind of know what they're going to say anyway. But then when people are asking questions from the audience, it's good just to hear the different answers. And also interesting as a people watcher, just to watch their persona and their you know, eagerness to get up there and answer the question. Mm. And then also like a lot of, you know, they're not doing this, but we're doing this, and they're not doing that, or they've done this, and we're doing this. So it's very a bit childish sometimes.
Yeah, it certainly is. And it's also a reminder for me of what a privilege it is for me to be able to just ask them directly what's on my mind, you know, once a month in a lot of cases, whereas some people in the audience, they wait years to try and get their question to the politicians.
Mm, absolutely. And like, you know, I mean, as in the climate emergency space, it's definitely difficult for people to get answers. And I know a lot of people that are emailing, ringing, even sitting in at, you know, like Carolyn Danaher sits at Sarah Henderson's office every week.
Yep.
And then trying to get a response from just, you know, simple sort of questions, and you just get the generic, you know, thank you for your email, da 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 da.
Yep. Well, I get that email too, and I'm just asking about when the next interview is and all that sort of thing. And then a real one comes through later. And also there's been something interesting going on in Corangamite with preferences, because Damien Cole, independent, who got 7% in South Bowen, so he's actually becoming quite a big player. He's running a split ticket, so he's not giving preferences to either of the major parties. It's up to the people going in to vote. But Sarah Henderson, I see, has put him third on her how to vote. So I just wonder if there's something going on there, if they've done a preference deal with each other behind the scenes. It's all speculation because I don't know, but just looking at the fact that she's put him third on her card and the fact that he's not preferencing them one way or another, whereas when he ran for South Bowen, he definitely put Labor above the Liberals.
Mm, and I think that he's, you know, he's very passionate at the moment, forever, I guess, about the drilling in the Australian Bight especially, yeah. And then, of course, Adani as well. But definitely the Equinor issue is a massive thing for him, and I guess that he's just sort of making his stance and just saying, you know what, I'm not giving either of you my vote when, you know, you're not man enough or woman enough or whatever it is to say, you know what, we don't want this, because both Labor and Liberal are both saying the same thing. Yeah, sure, nobody's going to openly say, yeah, that's a great thing to, like, let's ruin our whole reef. Like,
yep.
Nobody's going to actually say that. And indeed, Sarah Henderson did one of Damien's paddle outs. But they're certainly not, you know, saying, you know, we just won't stand for it, whereas that is what Damien is all about.
It's interesting on these sort of big environmental questions and projects, there's really a unity ticket there between the two major parties. So on Adani, for example, there's sort of the same thing going on. They're not saying one way or the other, and both parties pretty much have exactly the same position, and Equinor is itself the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that they can't actually, and I don't know that the full facts, but I have been told by Mick and Tony that they can't actually make a stand. Labor and Liberal can't say yes or no to Adani or to Equinor prior to them being in Parliament. And so there's some kind of tape there that yep. sort of says that, yep. you know, if they make some statements now, then that's going to ruin if they do get into government. So I'm not really all over that, but I think that is something that, you know, is stopping them from actually making yep. that statement.
There's definitely that. Once you're on tape saying, you know, for example, there will be no carbon tax under the government I lead, you're held to it.
Mm, absolutely.
And the other point as well is that different voters in different parts of the country want different things. So I was really interested to follow what's been going on in Queensland with a Labor member up there, Cathy O'Toole, wouldn't answer whether she was in favour of Adani, but she signed this pledge saying that she sort of is, sort of, but not direct. As you say, they're not using the exact wording of them saying, I support Adani or I don't support Adani. Whereas down here, to support Dani or to sign a pledge would be electoral suicide. So what the people in Victoria want is very different to what the people in Queensland want.
And I guess that comes down to the jobs, I suppose, that because, you know, that's, and when we're looking at the exact areas where these mines are and where they're going to want to drill, it's those people that are actually, I suppose, feel like they're affected on the right on the front line, and so there's more of that there. Whereas for us, you know, and you know, the politicians will give the facts, and Damien certainly has, of the amount of jobs that would be lost or have to be redirected if the mines and Equinor didn't go ahead. Whereas, you know, there's like 65,000 tourism and all of that, you know, on our coastline. So I suppose, you know, for us it's, yeah, I guess it's just different cultures, isn't it?
Absolutely. Now, the school strike for climate, that happened again on Friday, and it seemed like they're at a few different sites around Geelong, or at least two.
Yes, well, this year what they did, the students, was they met at City Hall. They sang a few songs. They did some talking, and they were all, when I got there, they were all standing on the stairs there, all the students with their signs and, you know, doing a few speeches and whatnot. And then they walked, they marched through Geelong, and this time they marched down or up, whichever way you want to see it, Mallop Street, towards Richard Marles' office. They all then congregated around Richard Marles' office. He didn't come out. I'm not sure whether he was in there or not.
He might have been interested. He's been travelling a lot lately. I don't know if you've been following his Instagram, but one day he's in the Northern Territory, the next he's in Papua New Guinea, the next he's in WA. It's amazing.
So he's a busy man, I guess. And to his credit, he came out the last school strike and he did speak to the students. And I think that all of the things that he says, you know, are what we want to hear and what the students want to hear, but then there's not that definite, you know, well, we're not going to drill in the bite. Mm. There's not those definite answers, which, you know, as we just spoke about. But he didn't come out. So then some of the students then made the trip on the bus to Sarah Henderson's office, and she also was not there. She was most likely out campaigning.
Maybe at pre-poll.
Yes. So they were there for a little bit. They, you know, and I guess Carol and Danaher, who sits out there, she's a senior citizen of Geelong, and she sits at Sarah Henderson's office every Friday for climate change, you know, wanting some response from Liberals as to where they stand on the climate issue. She's yet to have any response, any definite response, although, you know, everyone's polite and obviously they all know her now because she's been there for quite some time. But it was nice for her to have some support, I guess, from the students and even just for her to give support to the students. And, you know, they actually mentioned her and said, you know, that she's sitting out there. Like, who does that? They said, like, who actually would do that for us? So, you know, it's a nice, I guess, you know, on such a horrible issue and an important issue, it actually is really nice to see the camaraderie and the community that's developed from all of this. And there's a lot of relationships being formed and really nurtured on social media, as I guess mostly because people all around the country are in different groups. There's like so many different groups on social media for in that space.
Yep.
And there's people just making friends with each other on the social media, and when you actually speak to them, you feel like that person knows that other person, but they don't. They just know each other because they might have messaged privately, or they're talking in the same feeds and just supporting one another, which is really nice.
Do you know how many more of these strikes there are planned? Because my question was, at what point do they become truants? Because teachers say, you know, there's a crowded curriculum there. I don't know how many days of school they can miss before academically they start to suffer, but it's obviously they think it's important to take a stand on the future. But it's a balancing act between that and getting an education.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's quite strategic with the students for climate strike. I don't think that they're just all about let's see how many days we can get off. It's more about, and I guess, you know, the last one was in March the 15th, and then now this one, May the 3rd, which they wanted to do something before the election.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, it probably is close. But, I mean, it certainly didn't affect the turnout in Geelong, and I'm not sure, you know, how the strikes in Melbourne and around the rest of the country went. But from what I could see on social media, there seemed to be a lot of people at all of them. I think that the one that was in March may have been bigger because it was a more focused on, so in Melbourne especially, they were at Treasury Gardens, and so it was all there, whereas this one was more focused on the individual MPs.
Yep.
So there was people spread out everywhere.
I see. So there was some at Miles, some at Sarah's office, etc.
Mm.
Well, we've got about 1 minute left. Maybe have the final word. Is there another particular issue on your mind?
Well, I guess that hard rubbish. I've been looking at the hard rubbish.
Got the mayor coming on tomorrow.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I see lots of people have it out on their nature strip, which I wondered, I thought that that wasn't actually allowed, but clearly they're doing that. So I'm not sure what the stance is on.
I know, because someone else has been raising that with me as well. What happens if you're in a gated community? So I'm just going to ask the mayor. But from reading his body language when he was talking to me about it, he was very keen not to have stuff dumped on the nature strip.
Yes.
You could see he did not want that. So we're going to ask him about that tomorrow.
Terrific.
And we'll see what his response is.
That's great. Thanks for having me
on,
Mitch.
Jackie, thank you very much for coming in. We'll catch up next month. It'll be well and truly after the election then, but we'll
Absolutely.
Be able to do a bit of a roundup and maybe talk a bit of state stuff as well.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Time for the 10 o'clock news.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.